Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I am a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com, and you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. Podcasts are available there as well under local programming, Your Financial Choices. The markets were up today, the Dow closing at 26,346, the NASDAQ at 7,903, and the S&P at 2,919. I forgot to mention the day. Today is October 9th, 2019. Folks, our topic tonight is Medicare planning and updates. It's a big subject this time of year, so stay tuned to hear all the ins and outs as best as we can help. And of course, we are live and we will take questions this evening as well. Lori C. is in the studio and will answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear us without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic, and I'll do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810. That is 610-758-8810. And you can talk live on air with us, or if you're not comfortable talking live, you can call in, give your question to Lori, and she'll write it down and bring it in to me. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. And we did have someone who emailed in a question, and we'll get to that a little bit later in the show. Right now, I want to introduce my guest, Dan Banks. Dan is president of Silvercrest Insurance with offices in Bethlehem and Macungie. Silvercrest is an independent insurance agency specializing in Medicare insurance plans. They work with a variety of insurance companies offering Medicare supplements, prescription drug plans, and Medicare Advantage plans. Dan, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Lori. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming back. Dan's been here several times. Do you want to introduce yourself at all to our audience for those who haven't heard?
Well, you did before? A pretty nice job. we have offices here in Bethlehem and Macungie, as you said, and basically, we specialize in Medicare, and really, that's it. We specialize in Medicare and all products Medicare. So,
okay, and you've been in the Valley for?
Been in the Valley, been doing Medicare for 11 years now. Been in the Valley for 20 years, okay. And it's glad to be here. It's a growing Valley, and definitely have a lot of people going on Medicare.
So. And you became very passionate about this because you did work in, you know, financial services prior to this.
Yeah.
And what was that evolution?
It was actually pretty simple. A gentleman came in one day, he was a client of mine, and he was going on to Medicare. He showed me all the information he had, and he had to make a decision. And as I looked through the information, I was just thinking to myself, how would the average person be able to decipher all this information and then make a good decision and feel good about it? And then discovered that there was actually a market for insurance. And that really started the quest. And it really didn't take long to determine that I wanted to start an independent agency and specialize in Medicare. It was just a real cursory website search and discovered that there were no agencies in the Lehigh Valley. So I thought that seems like an opportunity.
That's a need. and to recognize that need and how difficult and you know, stressful it can be in looking for insurance.
Sure.
We have a call already, Dan.
Okay, great.
We have Matthew from Orfield on line one. Matthew, can you hear us?
Yep, I sure can.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great, and you guys?
Good, good. How can we help you?
Well, I happened to tune on the radio. I listened to it on my way home, and I heard you guys were talking. I've listened to the show before. It's a great show, and the topic you're talking about is Medicare, Medicaid, I believe, and I am, like, laser-focused on my retirement, and I've always had questions about that specific topic. Basically being is, at what age do you have to be to get the benefits? And then if you do, does it cover, like, everything, or do you still have to carry supplemental insurance? Because if people don't plan for the extra payments of extra insurance on top of it, it could really put a dent in their retirement savings if they're not financially prepared for that.
Right.
Well, that's a good question, and Matt, you sound like a forward thinker. So
we love those.
Yeah,
we love forward
exactly.
Proactive.
Proactive. And so the age generally that you would qualify for Medicare is at age 65. And, you know, so that's the magic age. And to answer your question, we're probably going to answer some of those questions as we go through the show, but typically, when you go on Medicare, you would want to have some extra coverage on top of it because Medicare, in a general sense, covers about 80% of your health care costs, leaving you exposed to 20% unlimited. And in today's world, medical costs being what they are, 20% can be a pretty big number depending on, you know, the situation. So.
So then you would get supplemental
insurance on top of that. And there's a myriad of options available for that, which we're going to go into in some detail here shortly.
Okay. So that's a good question, Matt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you guys taking the time to answer it.
Okay. Well, you can stay tuned, and we're going to talk more depth about it as well.
You're welcome, Matt.
Thank you for calling.
Sure.
Folks, again, if you have questions, phone number 610-758-8810, and we're going to take questions live on air or off air. So, Dan, maybe we should set the table. We've got a couple minutes before our first break. Let's talk about the ABCs of ND, ABC and D of Medicare to kind of set the table for what, so people can understand what Medicare is.
Sure. So, Medicare itself is insurance that's provided by the federal government at 65, or for people who are on disability for 24 months, people with Lou Gehrig's disease or end-stage renal, actually not end-stage renal, I'm sorry, I apologize.
I thought it was.
Well, in a sense, yes.
Okay.
So yeah, in there lies some of the, there are a lot of nuances, but in general for people 65 or older, and that insurance you're paying for through payroll taxes for most of your working years, starting from the very first paycheck you receive, and then that insurance will cover you in retirement. So it came out in 1965, and it was specifically because people of retirement age are usually statistically having more health problems than us younger folks, and to go out and purchase insurance would be incredibly difficult for somebody in that age range, especially when you're presumably retiring and on a fixed income. So the federal government felt that there was a need to do something for those folks, because at the time there was probably about 19 million people that didn't have health insurance that were in that scenario. Sort of similar to the situation of 10 years ago when the ACA came out, and that was in the other direction. But so that's why Medicare was created. It was signed into law by Lyndon Johnson in 1965.
Was that just the hospital insurance at that point? Because through payroll deduction, that's the hospital part of it.
Well,
Medicare Part
A? Well, it was both. I think the design was always where the person would pay for some of their coverage. So it wasn't designed, just like Social Security is not designed to pay your entire retirement. You're expected to have some savings in retirement. Medicare was not intended to be your end-all, be-all in health insurance coverage.
Okay, Dan, I'm going to have to stop you there. We're at our first break, and when we come back, we're going to continue getting the basics for the different kinds of Medicare that we have. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY offers many choices and real voices.
This is Rosalie.
And Steve.
Join us and other hosts each Sunday from 5 to 7 p.m. for Swing Sunday, a great mix of swing, big band, and classic vocals.
WDIY is the Lehigh Valley's local source for NPR news, public affairs, and diverse music at 88.1 FM and streaming on WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on 88.1. We are talking about Medicare this evening with Dan Banks, president of Silvercrest Insurance. And Dan, we're kind of setting the stage a little bit so that people can understand the various aspects of Medicare, because we hear about Medicare Part A, B, C, D. So you were letting us know some of the history, and it is good to know that Medicare has been around since 1965,
you said, when
Lyndon Johnson signed that in.
Yep.
So this was a program introduced to help people have some affordable health care at that time back then.
Right.
So the different kinds of Medicare. So
Part A is the hospital coverage, and Part B is the doctor coverage and the outpatient coverage. And in a nutshell, A and B together are what you would know called major medical coverage. So that's the major medical portion.
That's kind of what we're used to when we're working, for example.
Right.
Okay.
I think what obviously complicates Medicare is all the A's and the B's and the C's and the D's.
Right.
And what people are used to is having their coverage all compacted into one little card that you use when you go to the doctor or provider. So with Medicare, what tends to be very confounding to people is that you have your A and B, which is the foundation of your coverage. So Part A is your hospital coverage. Part B, they call your medical, which covers your doctor and outpatient facilities, ambulance, and durable medical equipment. And that's the foundation. Part B generally costs most people $135 per month, which can be deducted from Social Security. And then if you make more than a certain amount of money, you'll fall into an income-related adjustment where your program is not as subsidized as the rest of people on Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's the foundation. And there are two options for coverage under Medicare that are completely different. The first is to keep your A and B as your primary insurance, and they call that Original Medicare. And that covers approximately 80% of your coverage, leaving that 20% exposed. And that comes in the forms of various deductibles and co-insurances with the hospital and the doctor. But we'll keep it simple and we'll say it's 80-20 and 20%. And then the supplements, which are the secondaries. So if you have Original Medicare and you have a supplement or Medigap plan to cover the gaps, the hospital or doctor, you go to the doctor or the hospital, they bill Medicare, and through a third party, they pay the claim. And then whatever that 20% is left over, we either get sent to your supplement or sent to you if you don't have a supplement.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it works. So the supplement's the secondary, and the supplements do not include prescription drug plans. So in addition to the supplement, you have a standalone Part D, as in drug, prescription drug plan, which is the federally subsidized prescription program, and it's subsidized at about 75%. So the government picks up 75% of the tab, and you generally pay 25%. And private insurance companies sell those plans. Currently, there's 31 companies in the Lehigh Valley that sell those plans, And each company has about three plans, so figure that out. And so that's one version of Medicare coverage. And the other version is called a Medicare Advantage plan, which if you are watching TV right now or in the near future, you'll see a lot of commercials for these plans. That's private Medicare or Medicare Part C. It combines Part A, Part B, and Part D into one plan offered through a private insurance company, and they receive a subsidy from the federal government called a capitization rate. It's hard to say. And that is around $13,000 per person per year. The insurance company now becomes your Medicare. So they also call them Medicare replacement plans. And now in exchange for that subsidy, the insurance company is now going to pay your claims, but you will have cost sharing for services like doctor copays, copays for imaging, copays at the hospital, up to out-of-pocket maximums of $6,700 in-network, $10,000 out-of-network. I know I'm going really fast here. There's a lot to this.
But that's the Medicare Advantage.
This is the Medicare Advantage plan.
Right. So I'm just kind of pausing for a second because what sometimes I think people might think is, oh, Medicare, the original Medicare Part A and B plus the supplemental plan might sound like confusing to people or a little bit, you know, too much to manage. And they might just say, hey, let me just get the Advantage because it's kind of all wrapped in one wrapper.
Yes.
But we're going to talk. There's actually maybe some disadvantages to the Advantage plan, depending on your situation.
There's definitely pros and cons to both types of coverage that we should talk about.
Okay, and I know we're going to want to get into that. But I did have a call come in from Eileen. It's off air. And she indicated that she works. So she's still working, but she turned 65 this year. So we do have these situations. Not everyone's retiring at 62. Sometimes people continue to work. So the idea is, oh gosh, at 65, I'm eligible for Medicare, but what if I'm still working? She said she has a really good health care at work, and her health care rep suggested that she still get Part A, which is the hospital insurance. Sometimes I think, you know, the HR people will suggest it, thinking it might help with some of the cost of the insurance. I don't know. But a key point she mentioned here, as soon as I read a question that says someone tells you to get Part A, my first question always is, do you have a health savings account?
That's such a good question.
And my first question, and here she adds, she also has a health savings account. And she found out that she can't contribute to the health savings account when signing up for Part A.
And, you know, sometimes the whys are not easy to answer because that would require us trying to figure out what the federal government is thinking. And it's very difficult. Sometimes I can justify or work through something, but that one is a little bit of a mystery to me. And, you know, we try to warn people not to take advice from anybody other than us. But that's a scenario that is really tricky and people are running into a lot more often.
Well, it goes to those questions I like to say, you don't know what you don't know.
Yes.
And so we've seen this a couple times. And frankly, I wasn't aware of it either until it happened to someone I knew.
Right.
And it was like, oh. So a lot of times people think that someone who's 65 might not have a health savings account. That's because you have to have a high deductible plan in order to have a health savings account. So sometimes people think, oh, you're getting older, you're not going to have a high deductible plan, or because, you know, you need more medical. So Eileen, it is an issue. If you signed up for Medicare Part A, then you disqualify for your health savings account. And
I would just make one comment, and this, we see this sometimes, depending on what you pay for your insurance through work, Eileen, and how high that deductible is, Medicare might actually become a better option for you. And you might want to look at compare the difference between your plan at work, the cost, and then Medicare itself, and you might find that it's not as bad as you you think, kind of thing.
So he, but she could go totally on Medicare?
Oh, yeah. You can go on Medicare with Part B, the whole shebang, even when you're working.
Yeah. The trick there is sometimes people think they have to go on it if they have health and when they turn 65, and you don't have to go on it if you have otherwise qualified health insurance, but it doesn't mean you can't go on it because you have qualified health insurance.
Right. I would warn people about blanket advice from friends, family, doctors, lawyers. Whoever you normally think would give good advice, they do not know the nuances. I can guarantee you that.
Eileen, I hope that helped. Now, we have someone on line one, but Seamus and caller John, please stay on the line until we come back from this next break. So please hang on. We'll be back in a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY is gearing up for our 2019 Fall Membership Drive, starting Friday, October 11th. Once again, we are giving you the opportunity to buy back an entire weekend from the drive. If we can raise $16,000 before this Friday, we'll have an entire uninterrupted weekend of the WDIY programs you love. Come together right now and support Lehigh Valley Public Radio. Make your buyback gift today at WDIY.org.
WDIY's buyback campaign has less than $6,000 to go to meet our mini goal by next Friday. You can make your contribution online at WDIY.org, and thank you for your support of WDIY.
Thank you, Seamus. Welcome back, folks. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY. I have with me Dan Banks, president of Silver Crest Insurance, and we have John on line one. John, can you hear us?
Yeah, barely. I can hear you, though.
Hi, John.
Yes, I have a question. I've been in Medicare for 7 years, and I have Medicare supplemental insurance. So I had parts A, B, D, and supplemental.
Mm-hmm.
But I received a letter 2 weeks ago that my insurance carrier is going to be not offering Medicare supplemental plans beginning January 1st, 2020.
Okay.
Are you there?
Yep.
We're listening.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't hear anything. So I guess my question is, I thought I had, when you signed up for Medicare supplemental plans, you had guaranteed issue rights, and you couldn't be dropped. So I guess I have to, can I buy another Medicare supplemental plan without going through, since I have a pre-existing condition, without going through, what do you call that?
Underwriting.
Underwriting.
Yes, John, the answer is yes. And you, because you're losing your coverage now, and the letter will tell you this too, you have guarantee issue right to any type of coverage you want, including the exact same plan you have right now, and really with any company that offers it in our area. And the F plan, which a lot of people understand is going away, is still an option for you because you already are on Medicare. It's only going away for people new to Medicare in 2020. So you can just...
Yeah, that was my other question.
Right.
I knew Plan F was going away.
Yeah, I figured that was the second question. And we actually have this exact circumstance with our own clients who have received this letter. So we're currently dealing with it right now. But it's actually probably good news for you because you're probably paying a lot more for your supplement than you even need to. If I had to guess, and it's only a guess, you'll probably save $100 a month for the exact plan by going
know,
to a new...
I know, because it's really gone up.
Yeah, it's sure. I understand. And so, you know, you'll get another crack at it, and it'll end up being a blessing in disguise.
Okay.
So
the question is... Well, I just had a curious that, you know, I thought they couldn't drop, the insurance company couldn't drop your supplement plan unless they went bankrupt or insolvent.
Well, that kind of goes in the category of why ask why. I mean, I can't really give you a good answer for that.
Okay.
And it's almost like irrelevant. You're really going to end up saving money. You can get the exact same plan. And at the end of the day, I would just say that's all that matters. You know, not that I don't want to answer your question, but it's just not, you know, I just feel like it's not going to ultimately help to know. It's just, it helps to know you'll save money.
Yeah, you'll save money and still have the same kind of coverage that he had before,
just with a different provider.
So, Dan, while we've got John on the phone still, what does that process look like for John then in kind of researching what plans he goes on?
Well, I mean, you could shop it out to various companies. You can use an agency that brokers companies, and they'll shop the rates for you and sign up. You want to keep that letter. They're going to need that letter because that's what gives you the guarantee issue, right? And it's a really seamless and very easy process. Just find the best rate and sign up with that company, and you'll be fine.
Okay, John, did you keep the letter?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
All right. Good job, John. That's the magic bullet.
Made my health better.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that. We wish you all the best.
Thank you, John.
You bet.
Okay. Have a good evening. That was a great call and a great question, because if he's seeing that, other folks are probably seeing it too.
Oh, yeah. There's thousands in the area.
Okay. Folks, if you have questions, you can talk live on air with us or off air. If you don't want to talk live with us, just give your question to Lori C. She'll write it down and bring it in to us. And the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. So Dan, love the questions, by the way. We could do questions all night.
Yeah.
But going kind of back to our topic, so we were talking about the A, B, C, and D of Medicare. We talked about C being kind of that the wrapper around
the
hospital, the doctors, the prescriptions. And I don't know, can we kind of talk about some of the advantages of an advantage plan? That's the advantage plan, the C, or maybe the advantages of the traditional Medicare as we know it.
Well, so what people like about advantage plans is the fact that they have one card, it's all in one. So it has that feeling of, you know, it's less confusing than having Medicare supplement prescription plans separated. The advantage plans do come with some extra benefits often, where they'll give you silver sneakers, which is very popular. It's a gym benefit, some dental insurance, vision, hearing. You'll see plans with virtual doctors, phone doctors, where you can have an appointment with the doctor. You have a problem, you can make a phone call. Transportation benefits I've seen. I've actually seen in the last couple of years where the Advantage Plan benefits have been enriched because they've really adjusted to the subsidies that they're getting from the government, and they've, you know, kind of leveled off and figured out how to work with those subsidies. Now, I don't want people to be under the illusion that those benefits are free, because the insurance companies are for profit. And so whatever you have in benefits is probably made up through maybe a couple higher copays and things like that. I mean, nothing is free. So the disadvantage of an advantage plan is that if you really have a rough time, medically speaking, you have the potential to have a lot of copays up to that $6,700 out-of-pocket maximum threshold I mentioned earlier. And that's if you stay in network. And then if you go out of network, that could go up to $10,000 very fast. And the network itself is also a disadvantage. You got to be careful that you're not going to out-of-network doctors. And by the way, advantage plans come in traditionally an HMO or PPO. PPO, you can go in and out of network. HMO, you cannot go out of network or you have no coverage.
We're at the halfway point. I have a caller on line one who I'd like to hang on to the line, please. We'll take your question as soon as we get back from this next break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
You're listening to Your Financial Choices on WDIY, Lehigh Valley Public Radio. Lehigh Valley weather, it's 59 and overcast at 6:30. Tonight, a slight chance of showers with a low around 49. Tomorrow, that slight chance of showers hangs around with a high near 66. And on Friday, another slight chance of showers with a high near 60. An update from the WFMZ Channel 69 News and Traffic Center shows those incidents reported previously have been cleared and there's no current incidents or unusual delays to report. The time is 6:31.
Welcome back to Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert. And again, you're listening to Your Financial Choices. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You could talk live on air with us or off air. I have Dan Banks from Silvercrest Insurance talking with us tonight about Medicare. And we have Terry on line one. Terry, hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi, thank you for hanging on. What is your question?
It's a little bit complicated. I'm turning 65 in May. My husband's 59. He has good insurance. And it's totally covered my $80,000 DMD from my MS. And I have no idea what to do about keeping the insurance or changing it or what to do.
Does that insurance, is your husband's insurance through his employer?
Yes.
Okay. And does his employer have over 20 people on the plan there?
Oh, yeah. It's Eastman Manufacturing. It's DECA.
Oh, yep. DECA. Got it. I mean, you don't have to go on to Medicare. And in your case, you might not want to mess with a good thing. If you don't go on Medicare, and this is for anybody out there listening, you can defer Medicare for as long as your spouse's employer or your own employer is offering coverage through work. And if they have over 20 people employed there, by law, they have to provide that insurance coverage to you or the spouse as long as you're eligible under the plan rules and the work rules, whatever the hours are. So if I were you, I probably would not go on to Medicare. I would just stick with his coverage and continue to get your medications the way you have been.
Yeah, they're free right now. So
free is
well,
hard to beat. Yeah.
Terry,
yeah.
Was there a reason that you thought you might not be able to continue on his coverage, or you didn't realize that was an option?
My call is because I'm totally ignorant.
Oh, no, don't say that.
Just being 65, I was 29 for a lot of years, and all of a sudden I got old.
Yeah, I'm 14, so
I need to learn, and that's basically why I called. What do I do? We had talked about keeping the insurance, and I wanted to make sure it wasn't a stupid move.
Now, quick question, though, Terry. Do you collect Social Security?
No.
Okay. And the reason I ask, for all callers out there, if you collect Social Security at 65, you will automatically be signed up for Medicare A and B. And if you're in Terry's situation where you can have coverage through work and that's what you're going to do, you need to opt out.
And how do you opt out, Dan?
They're going to give you, when you get your card from them, it'll come in an envelope from Social Security. There'll be a form there. There's paperwork where you can opt out and say, I already have coverage. And send that back in. And, you know, if you go 5 years from now, your situation changes, you got to go on Medicare, you'll get a special enrollment, and that's fine. You can go on Medicare.
So, Terry, as long as you're not on Social Security, they won't automatically sign you up. But if you were to go on Social Security, that automatically happens unless you opt out.
Okay. I have that written down.
That's okay. Why I mentioned it, because I don't want you on Medicare without, you know, knowing it. And a lot of people end up that way.
Terry, great question and great call. Thank you.
I appreciate your help. You've helped us tremendously because we've been worrying about this for months.
Oh, good. Thank you. Have a good night.
You too.
love when we can help people, and I love good questions, and I love listeners' questions because it helps so many other people. It's they're the brave ones to call in and ask the questions.
Right, that was a good one.
Kind of helps everyone.
Yeah.
So we talked about the Advantage plans, and that, you know, there could be some higher cost to that. And I want to just circle back to that for a second because I don't recall if you had mentioned. I thought in prior shows, Dan, you said that an Advantage plan can drop you. Unlike kind of our story earlier with John when he was on a Medicare supplemental plan.
Right.
And because he, you know, had already qualified for that, he gets a letter, the insurance company says we're going to.
John's situation I haven't seen very often. In fact, I don't know if I ever saw it in 11 years. But
okay.
Advantage plan carriers' contracts are year to year, and any plan in any given year could elect not to renew a certain plan.
Okay.
And if that happens, you'll get a letter from the plan, and you have to pick a new plan. It's generally not a big deal. You just want to make sure if you're going to go to another company that your physicians are in the network of whatever plan you choose.
Okay.
But I've seen that happen more often. But also, I haven't actually seen it happen in the last few years. So, so that's it. But
So the Medicare primary.
Medicare plans, primary.
What we're going to call the A and the B
with the supplemental. Yep.
So some of the ins and outs, pros and cons of that. Did you already cover that? I apologize if I
No, we're good, Lori. So the advantage of having Medicare as your primary insurance is really network. If you have Medicare as your primary, most physicians in the entire country in hospitals accept Medicare. So if you want to go down to Philadelphia and go to Penn and have your knee replacement, you really don't have to worry about going out of network. And the supplement plans are secondary, so they get billed usually by Medicare directly and pay according to whatever plan you have. So there's a variety of plans. And again, the more confusion comes in because the government likes letters. And mm-hmm. so the plans go from A to N. And really, there's two plans that you'll see coming next year. G as in Gary, N as in Nancy. Those two supplement plans will likely be the most popular plans for supplements. And what they cover is probably a little too deep to get into, but they will be your secondary. Medicare gets billed, and then Medicare bills your supplement, and they pay according to the benefits. They're standardized.
Okay. We have another caller on line one. We have Tony from Easton. Hi, Tony. Can you hear us?
Hi.
Hi.
Evening. Yes, I think I can hear you okay. I'm on a cell, so
okay.
I'll try to be quick. I just wanted to follow up to the last caller.
Mm-hmm.
My wife signed up for Social Security. She's on my health care plan, which is through an employer that has more than 20 workers. And so we got the Medicare notice starting next month, but then we received notification that she's automatically in Part B and there's a premium deduction. She's going to stay on my plan, so I want to get her off of Part B. I called Social Security, and they said, you can come down to our office, but there's a form you can fill out ahead of time and bring it in. But I tried looking up the form, and either they gave me the wrong numbers or I copied them down wrong. But it's basically the same scenario. I think the better scenario is for her to stay on my plan, as opposed to doing Medicare Part B.
Well, I mean, as far as a form like that, I mean, if you went in there without that form filled out, they could just pull one off the rack, give it to you, and fill it out.
Okay.
I wouldn't get too concerned about
it. Did you not want to go into the office? You wanted to do it on
I was hoping to get the form online. We could fill it out and do it at our leisure. And I told my wife, you need to go in. I probably won't go in with her because I work. It's inconvenient. But, we're in Easton, and there is an Easton Social Security office, and evidently they do have somebody who's a Medicare rep on site there. So
I would go in, and when you say leisure, that kind of alarms me a little bit because changes like this you shouldn't leisurely make. I would make that change ASAP if that's what
you
want to do.
I agree with you. I've told her. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I just find it very confusing. In other words, we signed up early for her for Social Security. I knew she was going to be eligible for Medicare. She's turning 65. I did not realize that they, Part B, I knew you had to have Part B as well, but that they automatically start deducting from your Social Security for the premium.
If you're collecting Social Security, they automatically send that card. And my hunch on that is that, years ago, people who were collecting Social Security generally weren't working. So a lot of them were just, when they were collecting Social Security, they needed health benefits because they weren't working. So I think the government still employs that philosophy, and they automatically send out the cards, which probably 70% of the time they're right on. But, these days a lot of people are working past 65 and they have spouses who are. So maybe not the perfect way to do it. But
so, Dan, you think that Tony's wife should just go into the office and do it rather than trying to
do it? Yeah, I would mess around.
That way you make sure it gets done.
I had a gentleman today that went in there, the same office. He went in, waited 2 hours or whatever, and he got it done. And sometimes that's what it takes, just get it done.
And I mean, in general, is a person better off not going for Part B and staying on an employer's health plan, or no? Is the reverse better? I've been sort of playing that in my mind.
It depends on what your deductible is at work and how much you pay for your wife to be on. And I'm just going to say this in general. If you're paying more than $200 a month for your wife to be on your work coverage, work deductibles are usually somewhere around $2,000 to $3,000 these days.
Right.
You'd probably want to weigh the differences between the two, and oftentimes we find going to Medicare is a pretty good option. But there's some variables in there, so it can't be like a blanket thing,
Yeah.
Right, and I don't think that applies to us. Our deductible's not as high.
Okay.
Number one, number two, she would not have. She has health, eye care, and dental through my plan, which she would have to get on her own. So I think we're going to elect to just stay on mine for the time being.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Okay,
well,
thanks,
thank
Tony.
Thank you both for your time.
Okay.
Yep.
Appreciate it. Have a good night. Are there some dates that people have to pay attention to? We kind of were talking about these rolling dates that may occur with auto enrollment. If you're in Social Security and pre-age 65, you're going to kind of be automatically enrolled unless you can show that you have other coverage and opt out. How do other people enroll in Medicare? Or in this example, Tony and Eileen, or who the other people who maybe opt out of Medicare right now, and let's say they're now age 66, 67, 68.
They can go on Medicare whenever they want.
Okay.
So
they can't have any gap in coverage, though, right?
No. Usually, if you're past the age of 65, you're on a work plan. You're 67, and you decide you're going to go on Medicare in June. You want to give yourself about 6 weeks to sign up for Part B Medicare, A and B Medicare, and then get your supplement and other stuff in place. I'd say 6 to 8 weeks is a good lead time for a person like that. If you are 65 and you know you're going to go on Medicare, or you're before 65, you'll be eligible to sign up 3 months prior to the month of your birthday. Say your birthday is December 12th, you'll be eligible to start signing up October.
So I'm doing the same thing.
September, October, November, December.
Yes, September 12th. Three months before.
Yes, except on the 1st, though, you can start. So hopefully that made sense to people and we didn't just confuse everybody.
Okay,
on
so 3 months before.
Prior to the month of your birthday.
Okay.
And then you can go right online and it's very easy to sign up. You need a MySocialSecurity.gov account, and I would advise everybody who doesn't have one to get one.
Is it the same as the for Social Security?
Exactly. Yep.
So if you have an account that you set up, a My Account on Social Security, it also applies on the Medicare side.
Right. And to sign up, you can go on Social Security's website, and you just click on Enroll in Medicare, and then as you walk through the process, they'll have you sign into your MySocialSecurity.gov account.
Okay. We take our last break at 6:45. And so we're going to do that. And we still will take calls and questions, of course. We've loved them this evening. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. We're talking with Dan Banks of Silver Crest Insurance this evening about Medicare. Back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY 88.1 offers many choices and real voices. Folk music, from folk classics to the Gaelic traditions of the British Isles, to bluegrass and old-time music of Appalachia, to the modern-day singer-songwriters telling the story of today's world. You'll find it all here on WDIY. Listen and enjoy the wide variety of folk music every weekday evening, 7 to 9 p.m., just after NPR News headlines, and Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. on 88.1 WDIY and streaming at WDIY.org.
The time is 6:46. Stay tuned after your financial choices for In the Tradition with Tom Druckenmiller.
Welcome back to Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I have in the studio with me this evening Dan Banks of Silver Crest Insurance, and we're talking about Medicare. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Dan, we've been talking about Part A, Part B. We've talked about Advantage plans. Let's talk about prescriptions for a minute.
That's a big one.
So, you know, there's so many different options you mentioned with supplemental plans. What are we looking at for prescriptions?
Well, by my calculations, there's 90 prescription plans available in this area next year, maybe even more. And if anything, that becomes one of the hot buttons for us as agents and just people in general, because there's so many different medications. And is my plan going to cover my medication? How much is it going to cost? And I can tell you a trend in the industry or in the Medicare prescription drug plan is to have lower premium plans with a deductible. Next year's the highest deductible they can charge is $435.
Oh, okay. Deductible. Okay.
Right. And that typically will apply to tier 3 or higher drugs. So if you go tier 1 and 2 drugs are generics. Preferred and non-preferred generic drugs. And that's what they want you to take. Drugs are very expensive. Anything that you see advertised on TV when you're watching the nightly news is expensive. And if your doctor says that name of that drug, you know, just cringe and make sure you look it up. There's always alternatives. Every plan has to offer 2 drugs in every therapeutic category. And don't ask me to tell you what that means, but in general, you should be able to find a medication that will cover your particular ailment. And, you know, obviously that's not always the case. You may have to take the exact drug your doctor prescribes, or you may react differently to other drugs. But you want to always try to stick to generics. And also, it's very important that you use your prescription plan's preferred pharmacies. If you have a prescription plan and their preferred pharmacies are CVS, Weiss, Wegmans, don't go to Walgreens.
I wouldn't have even known that existed.
It exists actually in all plans.
Oh.
Not just Medicare. And
well, I know that sometimes with the employers,
right,
they'll say you have to go, like for recurring prescriptions, you have to go through an online service. So I've seen that before, but I didn't realize that there was actually preferred pharmacies.
There are, and it's a very interesting trend to see how that works, but we often have people that just aren't aware of that, and you can price shop your medications.
So if you're not told about them, and I wasn't aware of it until you just now said it, so if people aren't aware of it, and I just go into ABC drugstore and it's not a preferred one, are they going to tell me, or they're just going to give me the prescription and it might cost me $15? But if I went to the preferred pharmacy, not knowing it's a preferred pharmacy, that same prescription might be $5?
Yep. And they won't tell you because they're considered a standard pharmacy. They accept your plan, and it's not really up to them to tell you whether they are or not. And I know that sounds a little underhanded or whatever, but it gets very nuancy and complicated, and a lot of times people even that work at the pharmacy don't understand it. So
how do you find out what material are you given to know that there's a preferred pharmacy? Is it in like your little booklet that
yes.
we don't read?
Yes.
That nobody
it's
reads?
In your little booklet you don't read. It's online. Every plan has its own website. Medicare.gov has a prescription plan finder that they changed this year and made it ultra complicated. They took a good thing and kind of broke it for now, but that's another very sore subject for us and everybody. But that hopefully when they get it up and running again, that's a great source for finding your preferred pharmacies, the best drug plan, and that's how we do it as agents. So
okay. We have a caller. We have Lee on line one from Easton. Hi, Lee. Can you hear us?
You're very faint.
Hi. How can we help you?
Well, I'm a federal retiree and I'm 70 years old. I retired at age 57. And at 65, I had to sign up for Medicare. So I have my government health benefits plus Medicare Part A. A year ago, I had to have surgery, and the hospital business office informed me that if I was an outpatient, my health insurance would pay 80, and I'd be responsible for 20%. If I was an inpatient, Medicare would pick up 80, and my health 20%, and I would not be out of pocket at any cost. What happened, I received a bill, and they billed my health insurance, not Medicare. And when I inquired, I was told that I was admitted, and I was there for two nights.
Mm-hmm.
So when I inquired about why Medicare wasn't billed, I was informed that I was not admitted to the hospital. I was held for observation.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, Medicare only pays for inpatient services. So I'm out of pocket $6,000.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, is there anybody I can appeal this to?
That's a tough one, Lee. You know, I'm sorry for that scenario. And I've heard actually similar accounts, and I saw a spot on 60 Minutes one time about that very thing, being admitted versus held, and the billing issues that people could be responsible for. And I'm going to be honest with you, you're going a little above my pay grade there. I mean, you may be able to appeal it to Medicare.
You might want to try appealing it to the hospital.
Even to the hospital.
Yeah, that's probably where I would go because...
You might even research that 60 Minutes segment and see maybe what some of those folks did because it's definitely not a problem that's just, it happens more than not. And we as an agency don't necessarily go that far in the weeds on billing issues because we're on the other end where we're doing the insurance. Now we try to assist a little, but that's getting pretty deep for us. So,
yeah, Lee, I think I would. I think that's a great idea to research the 60 Minutes episode. I would also possibly call the hospital because sometimes they have programs where they can help out with expenses.
That's actually a good point, too. If you go to the hospital, the financial office for the hospital, there are they have aid for people no matter what your income is, and they will forgive a lot of that bill, and they'll work with you there. they might not make it go away completely, but it will definitely get reduced for you. I would start with the financial office at the hospital.
And not to mention, you were told how this was going to, you know, roll for you, and you went along with that, and you weren't controlling whether they held you for observation.
Yeah, I would say you have a pretty good case to go back to their office and
keep pushing
and push with them. Yeah, you'll get that down there.
I did contact their office, and you know, I offered, well, if I pay a lump sum, can you reduce it by, you know, let's say 30%? And they told me, absolutely not. You're not destitute. We can set you up on a payment plan.
Hmm.
So that's what they did.
What? Well, I don't want to ask you who, but...
Now, does the state of Pennsylvania have any process to appeal through a state agency?
You know, sometimes you can go to your local representative. I've heard people take the amazing stories to their representatives. And I never would think to do that, but I have heard stories where you contact your, you know, your local representative and let them know what happened and see if they can do anything.
Yeah. That's,
okay.
That's probably not a bad idea.
All right, Lee. Good luck.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Lee. Good night. Dan, we have 4 minutes left.
Okay.
What else would you like to make sure that people walk away kind of knowing what to pay attention to? Kind of overall with Medicare?
Well, I think you just need to be careful about the selections you're making with your coverage. Sometimes you're making a selection that is not easily undone. Medicare Advantage plans are very popular. 22 million people in the United States are in those plans. They can be very good for some people. You just have to tread lightly. I'd encourage you to look at Medicare with a supplement and your prescription drug plans. Definitely, the preferred pharmacy thing is something that if you're on a lot of expensive medications, you want to make sure that you get that right. You know, research your drugs. And also there's programs through the prescription plan carriers that will, for certain people who are on a lot of medications, they'll analyze your medications and see if they're interacting with each other. Maybe you can get reduced medications. I really get leery when I see people on more than 5, 6, and sometimes you see people with over 10 medications. And I think, you know, I to myself, that, is that actually helping them or hurting them? You know, it's not only expensive, it's...
Well, I'll tell you a story. I had a good friend who was called to her grandmother's bedside because she was dying. And so they took her off all of her medications and she had a miraculous rebound.
Yeah.
And continued to live for many, many years. So sometimes my mother says the best drug to take is no drug.
I agree. Amen to that.
So it can be complicated trying to navigate not just the Medicare supplemental plans, but also the Medicare Part D, the prescription plans.
Right.
And making sure that you're thinking about your personal situation, not necessarily what your neighbor had or, you know.
Yeah, I would also caution you where you get your advice. You know, I don't tell people what operation to go get and when they give me their symptoms, and I don't know that, you know, I would trust everybody to tell me what insurance to get. I usually go to the professionals for advice. Yeah. So
okay, well, yes, we know that it can be complicated and people's mailboxes are filled up and they're kind of inundated.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of choices to make. Dan, how do people reach you if they have more questions? What is your phone number?
You can give us a call at 610-868-5801, 610-868-5801.
And your website is?
www.silvercrestins.com. Silvercrestins.com.
Okay. And podcasts of this show are also going to be available, folks, probably within two or three days, I think. Seamus, is that usually right? 2 or 3 days, the podcast is available. Lots of important information to understand about Medicare. I think some of the questions we had this evening were just spot on, very applicable. I really, really want to thank our listeners tonight because you really helped make the show, because I think these questions really demonstrate how confusing this whole Medicare can be, and learning all the nuances of even those things that we don't know about. So, Dan, thank you so much for being here to help those listeners with those
questions.
Thanks
for having me. Appreciate it.
And Lori, thank you so much for taking all the calls tonight, because she was crazy taking the calls. And Seamus, thanks for being here as well. Next week, I'm going to talk about charitable giving and itemized deductions. Coming up next, Tom Druckenmiller within the tradition folk music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices, and have a great week. Thank you.